A Walk to Remember podcast. Episode, Show Me How to Live, When Audioslave Became the Sound of Second Chances. What happens when the music that saves your life comes from a band that shouldn't have existed? When four musicians from completely different worlds create something that speaks directly to your soul at the exact moment you need it most. Welcome to A Walk to Remember, the podcast where music becomes the bridge between who we were and who we become. I'm your host, Cressida, and today we're exploring a story that proves sometimes the universe's most powerful messages come through the most unexpected messengers. This is the story of David Martinez, a 38-year-old social worker from Phoenix, whose life was fundamentally transformed by Audioslave, the supergroup that brought together the political fire of Rage Against the Machine with the soaring voice of Soundgarden's Chris Cornell. From addiction, recovery to finding his life's purpose, from learning to trust again to becoming a bridge between different communities, David's journey has been soundtracked by a band that existed for just 7 years but left an impact that continues decades later. Picture this, it's November 2002, and 19-year-old David Martinez is 6 months clean from methamphetamine addiction, living in a halfway house in Tempe, Arizona. His days are structured around group therapy, court-mandated community service, and the constant battle against the voice in his head that whispers he's not worth saving. David grew up in a household where music was either mariachi played too loud during weekend parties, or the angry rap that leaked through thin walls from his older brother's room. He'd never connected with music emotionally, it was just noise that marked time, another thing that happened around him while he navigated the chaos of adolescence in a community where opportunities felt scarce and escape routes were dangerous. But addiction has a way of stripping everything down to essentials. In recovery, David was learning to hear the world differently. Without the chemical buffer that had numbed his senses, sounds became more vivid, emotions more intense, and silence which he'd spent years avoiding became something he was finally ready to sit with. The halfway house had one rule about music: nothing explicit, nothing that glorified drug use, nothing that could trigger someone's recovery. This left a pretty limited selection in the common area CD collection, mostly donated by churches and well-meaning volunteers who thought recovering addicts needed either soft rock or contemporary Christian music to heal. And then someone David never found out who left behind a CD that would change everything. It was Audioslave's self-titled debut album, released just that month. The cover was stark, geometric, mysterious. David had never heard of the band, had no idea it featured members from two of the most influential alternative rock groups of the 1990s. I remember putting in those cheap headphones we were allowed to use and hitting play, David told me when we sat down last month in his office at the Phoenix Youth Crisis Center, where he now works as a counselor. The first song that came on was Cochise, and within 30 seconds, everything I thought I knew about music, about myself, got turned upside down. Here was music that was powerful without being aggressive, political without being preachy, complex without being pretentious. Chris Cornell's voice soared over Tom Morello's innovative guitar work, while Tim Comerford's bass and Brad Wilk's drums provided a foundation that was both rock solid and surprisingly sophisticated. But it wasn't just the sound that got to David. It was the themes. Here was a band singing about transformation, about breaking free from systems that hold you back, about finding your authentic voice in a world that tries to silence you. For a young man learning to rebuild his life from scratch, these weren't just songs, they were blueprints. The track that became David's anthem during those early recovery months was Show Me How to Live. Without reproducing the lyrics, I can tell you it's about seeking guidance, about admitting you need help finding your way, about the courage it takes to ask someone to teach you how to exist authentically in the world. For David, this was revolutionary. He'd grown up in a culture where asking for help was seen as weakness, where young men were supposed to figure things out on their own or fail quietly. But recovery had taught him that admitting you need guidance isn't weakness, it's the beginning of wisdom. I must have played that song 500 times during my first year in recovery, David remembered. It became my prayer, my mantra, my reminder that it was okay to not know how to do this thing called living. The song gave me permission to be a student of my own life. This was during the early 2000s, when the music industry was in transition. New metal was dominating, rock radio, pop punk was having its moment, and hip-hop was becoming increasingly mainstream. Audioslave represented something different, a mature approach to alternative rock that acknowledged both political consciousness and personal struggle without falling into either cynicism or false optimism. David started exploring the individual histories of Audioslave's members, learning about Rage Against the Machine's political activism and Soundgarden's grunge legacy. This musical archaeology became part of his recovery process, connecting him to broader themes of social justice, artistic integrity, and the power of collaboration across different styles and backgrounds. The Halfway House had a small library with music magazines and biographies, and David became fascinated by the story of how Audioslave came together. Here were four musicians who could have easily coasted on their past successes, but instead chose to take creative risks, to explore new territory, to prove that artistic evolution was possible even after achieving massive success. Learning about how Audioslave formed taught me about second chances, David explained. These guys didn't have to make music together. They chose to because they believed they could create something new, something that honored their past but wasn't limited by it. That became my approach to recovery, honoring where I'd been while refusing to be limited by it. By his second year clean, David was volunteering at the treatment center where he'd gotten sober, helping newer residents navigate the program. He started bringing his Audioslave CDs to the music therapy sessions, introducing other recovering addicts to songs that had helped him reframe his relationship with struggle, growth, and possibility. Recovery gave David structure, but it was community college that gave him purpose. At 21, he enrolled in Phoenix Community College's social work program, determined to turn his lived experience into professional expertise that could help others navigate similar challenges. College was intimidating for someone who'd barely graduated high school, who'd spent his late teens focused more on getting high than getting educated. But David had learned something in recovery that served him well in academia: how to listen deeply, how to ask questions without shame, and how to find wisdom in unexpected places. Audioslave's second album, Out of Exile, was released during David's sophomore year, and it became the soundtrack to his academic awakening. The album was more introspective than their debut, exploring themes of alienation, searching, and the complex relationship between individual identity and community belonging. One track in particular, Be Yourself, became David's study anthem. The song's message about authenticity in a world that pressures you to conform resonated deeply with someone who was learning to balance his recovery identity with his student identity, his Mexican-American heritage with his professional aspirations, his street-smart survival skills with his growing academic confidence. "I was the first person in my family to go to college," David told me. "That came with a lot of pressure, but also a lot of guilt. Like I was somehow betraying my community by trying to better myself through education." Be Yourself reminded me that growth doesn't mean abandoning who you are, it means becoming more fully who you're meant to be. David's professors noticed his unique perspective immediately. His papers on addiction psychology were informed by lived experience in ways that impressed faculty members who'd been teaching theory for decades. His contributions to class discussions about poverty, systemic inequality, and community trauma carried a weight that purely academic knowledge couldn't match. But it was his senior capstone project that really showed how Audioslave's influence had shaped his understanding of social work practice. David designed a program that used music therapy techniques to help at-risk youth process trauma and build emotional regulation skills. The theoretical framework drew from established practices, but the musical selections were heavily influenced by Audioslave's approach to addressing serious topics through accessible, emotionally powerful songs. The program was so successful that the local school district asked David to stay on as a consultant after graduation, helping them implement similar approaches in middle and high schools across the Phoenix area. Graduation day was emotional for David in ways that surprised him. As he walked across that stage to receive his Bachelor of Social Work degree, he thought about the 19-year-old kid who'd first heard "Show Me How to Live" in a halfway house. The journey from there to here had been soundtracked by a band that understood something essential about transformation: it's not about becoming someone completely different, it's about becoming the person you always had the potential to be. His family was in the audience that day, including his older brother who'd struggled with his own addiction issues but hadn't found recovery yet. David dedicated his achievement to everyone who'd believed in second chances. his counselors, his professors, his sponsor, and yes, even the musicians. Who'd never know how their songs had helped a young man from Phoenix learn how to live? David's first job out of college was at a residential treatment facility for adolescents with substance abuse issues. It was challenging work. Many of the kids he worked with reminded him of his younger self, angry and scared and convinced that no one could understand what they were going through. The facility's approach was primarily clinical, focusing on cognitive behavioral therapy and pharmaceutical interventions. But David had learned something in his own recovery that wasn't always emphasized in traditional treatment models: the power of cultural connection, of finding yourself reflected in art and music that speaks to your experience. This is where Audioslave's third and final album, Revelations, became particularly important to David's work. Released in 2006, the album dealt with themes of social justice, personal accountability, and the complexity of trying to create positive change in an imperfect world. These were concepts that directly applied to the work David was doing with teenagers who were struggling to believe they could overcome their circumstances. One of David's most successful cases involved a 16-year-old girl named Maria who'd been in and out of treatment facilities since she was 13. She was resistant to traditional talk therapy, skeptical of adult authority figures, and convinced that her addiction was just a reflection of her family's generational trauma, something she felt powerless to change. David's breakthrough with Maria came during a music therapy session where he introduced her to Audioslave's approach to addressing social issues without falling into despair or blame. The band's music acknowledged systemic problems while still insisting that individual agency and transformation were possible. Maria heard something in Chris Cornell's voice that she couldn't ignore, David explained. Here was someone who could sing about pain and injustice without sounding like a victim. Someone who could acknowledge how hard life is while still believing that change is possible. That combination of realism and hope was exactly what she needed to hear. Maria started writing her own songs, using Audioslave's musical structure as a template for processing her experiences. She'd never considered herself creative before, but David's encouragement and the example of musicians who'd channeled their struggles into art helped her discover a talent she didn't know she had. The songwriting became Maria's pathway to deeper therapeutic work. Through lyrics, she was able to express feelings she couldn't articulate in traditional counseling sessions. Through melody and rhythm, she found ways to regulate emotions that had previously overwhelmed her. Through the collaborative process of sharing her music with David and other group members, she learned to trust adult guidance in ways that had seemed impossible before. Maria completed the program and went on to finish high school, eventually studying music therapy herself in college. But more importantly for David, her success demonstrated something he'd intuited but hadn't been able to prove: that music-based interventions, when culturally relevant and emotionally authentic, could reach young people in ways that traditional approaches sometimes couldn't. This realization led David to pursue additional training in expressive arts therapy and trauma-informed care. He started developing workshops for other social workers on incorporating music into treatment planning, always emphasizing the importance of meeting clients where they are culturally and emotionally. By 2008, David was thriving professionally, but his personal life was more complicated. He'd been clean for 6 years, had a successful career, and was respected in his field. But he'd also been so focused on helping others heal that he'd avoided dealing with some of his own unresolved trauma. The wake-up call came when he learned that Chris Cornell had died by suicide in May 2017. David was devastated in a way that surprised him. He'd never met Cornell, had no personal relationship with the musician, but the loss felt profound and personal. "I realized I'd been using Chris Cornell's voice as a kind of emotional scaffolding," David admitted. His ability to express pain and hope simultaneously had helped me navigate my own recovery. But I'd never fully processed some of the deeper trauma that had led to my addiction in the first place. Cornell's death forced David to confront something he'd been avoiding: the unresolved grief over his own brother's overdose death 2 years earlier. David had thrown himself into his work as a way of coping, telling himself that helping other families avoid similar tragedies was how he honored his brother's memory. But he hadn't taken the time to actually grieve. David took a leave of absence from work and entered intensive therapy, this time as a client rather than a professional. The process was humbling for someone who'd built his career on helping others heal, but it was also liberating. he rediscovered Audioslave's music from a different perspective, hearing layers of vulnerability and authenticity that he'd missed when he was focused primarily on the songs, messages of strength and resilience. The track that became most important during this period was, Like a Stone, Audioslave's biggest hit and perhaps their most emotionally complex song. It's about waiting, about faith, about the patience required to heal from deep wounds. For David, it became a meditation on grief, on the way loss changes us, and on the courage it takes to remain open to love and connection even after experiencing profound hurt. I spent months just listening to that song and crying, David remembered. Not the kind of crying that feels sorry for itself, but the kind that washes things clean. I was finally letting myself feel everything I'd been pushing down for years. The therapy process taught David something that would fundamentally change his approach to both personal relationships and professional practice. Healing isn't a destination you arrive at, it's a practice you commit to. Just like recovery from addiction, emotional healing requires ongoing attention, support, and the willingness to revisit difficult material when life circumstances require it. When David returned to work after his leave, his colleagues noticed a difference. He was still passionate about helping others, but he was more balanced, more present, more able to hold space for clients' pain without taking it on as his own. His personal reckoning with grief had made him a more effective healer. David's evolution as both a person and a professional led to a new opportunity in 2019, becoming the clinical director of a new youth crisis center that specialized in serving Latino families in Phoenix. The position required him to design programming that was culturally responsive while still being clinically effective, exactly the kind of challenge his unique background had prepared him for. The center's approach was innovative, incorporating traditional therapeutic practices with culturally specific healing methods and, yes, music therapy programs that David had spent years developing and refining. Audioslave's music became part of the toolkit he used to train staff, not as prescribed treatment, but as an example of how art can bridge different experiences and create common ground. I'd play I Am the Highway for new staff during orientation, David explained, referring to one of Audioslave's most anthemic tracks. It's about self-determination, about refusing to be defined by others' expectations or limitations. That's exactly the mindset we wanted our clients to develop, the understanding that they are the authors of their own stories, regardless of their circumstances. The program's success attracted attention from other treatment centers, and David found himself in demand as a consultant and trainer. He started traveling around the Southwest, helping other facilities incorporate music-based interventions into their programming. But he always emphasized that the specific music mattered less than the cultural relevance and emotional authenticity. It was during one of these training sessions that David met Elena Morales, a music therapist who was working with veterans dealing with PTSD. Elena had her own story of how specific bands had shaped her professional calling. In her case, it was Tool and their complex approach to processing trauma through art. Their relationship began as a professional collaboration but quickly became something deeper. Elena understood David's connection to Audioslave in ways that previous romantic partners hadn't. She didn't see it as an obsession or a limitation, but as a legitimate therapeutic tool that had shaped his approach to helping others. More importantly, she challenged him to continue growing, to avoid getting stuck in any single approach to healing, whether professional or personal. Together, David and Elena developed training programs that combined their different but complementary approaches to music-based therapy. They started a nonprofit organization focused on training bilingual and bicultural social workers in trauma-informed care that incorporated expressive arts techniques. The work was demanding but fulfilling in ways that David couldn't have imagined when he first heard Show Me How to Live, in that halfway house. He was no longer just seeking guidance, he was providing it. He was no longer just healing from his own trauma, he was helping create systems that could prevent and address trauma in others. The moment that crystallized everything David had learned came in 2020, during the early months of the pandemic. Like many treatment facilities, the Youth Crisis Center had to rapidly adapt to providing services remotely. Teenagers who were already struggling with mental health and addiction issues were now dealing with additional isolation, family stress, and uncertainty about the future. David found himself thinking about those early days of his recovery, when music had been one of the few things that could reach him through the fog of early sobriety and depression. he decided to create virtual music therapy groups specifically designed for teenagers in recovery who were dealing with pandemic-related stress. The format was simple. David would introduce a song that dealt with themes relevant to recovery and resilience, facilitate a discussion about the lyrics and musical elements, and then invite participants to share their own musical discoveries or creative responses. The groups were popular enough that they continued even after in-person services resumed. One session in particular stands out in David's memory. A 17-year-old named Carlos had been struggling with both substance abuse and depression, made worse by losing his job and dropping out of school. During the pandemic, he'd been resistant to traditional counseling approaches and seemed disconnected from the virtual group sessions. But when David introduced The Last Remaining Light from Audioslave's final album, something shifted for Carlos. The song deals with themes of hope in darkness, of finding reasons to keep going when everything seems lost. Carlos started crying, the first real emotion David had seen from him in months of working together. "That song talks about what I feel every day," Carlos said during the session. "Like everything good is disappearing, but maybe there's still something worth fighting for." That breakthrough led to Carlos engaging more deeply with treatment, eventually completing the program and enrolling in community college. But for David, the moment was significant. For a different reason, he realized that his own story had come full circle. He was now the person providing the kind of guidance he'd once desperately needed, using the same tools that had helped him learn how to live. The pandemic period also gave David time to reflect on the larger meaning of his work. He'd started out focused on individual healing, but increasingly understood that personal recovery was connected to larger issues of social justice, community healing, and systemic change. This was something Audioslave had always understood, that individual and collective transformation were inseparable. By 2023, David had become something he never expected, an elder in recovery and addiction treatment communities. At 40, with over 20 years clean and 15 years of professional experience, younger counselors and clients looked to him for guidance in ways that sometimes surprised him. This role required David to articulate lessons he'd learned intuitively, to translate his lived experience into teachable wisdom. He started developing training curricula that combined evidence-based practices with the insights he'd gained from his own recovery journey and his deep engagement with music that had shaped his understanding of healing. "I realized that my story with Audioslave wasn't unique," David explained. "Everyone who's gone through significant life changes has music that soundtrack their transformation. The key is learning how to listen to that music actively, how to let it teach you about resilience, growth, and possibility." David started encouraging other counselors to explore their own relationships with music, not as personal indulgence but as professional development. He argued that understanding your own emotional relationship to art made you better equipped to help clients develop similar connections to sources of meaning and inspiration in their own lives. This philosophy led to David being invited to speak at conferences on addiction treatment and trauma-informed care. His presentations always included music, often featuring Audioslave tracks as examples of how artistic expression can address complex emotional and social issues without simplifying or minimizing their difficulty. The response was consistently positive, but David was careful not to present his approach as a universal solution. Different people needed different kinds of music, different therapeutic approaches, different pathways to healing. What mattered wasn't the specific intervention but the underlying principle, that healing happens through connection, to community, to meaning, to sources of wisdom and inspiration that remind us who we can become. Elena, who married David in 2021, often jokes that she fell in love with him partly because of his relationship with Audioslave's music. Not because she shared his specific musical tastes, but because she recognized someone who had learned how to let art guide his personal and professional development in authentic, meaningful ways. "David doesn't just listen to music," she told me. "He learns from it. He lets it challenge him, comfort him, and push him to grow. That's the same approach he takes to everything else in life, relationships, work, parenting our daughter. He's always asking what he can learn, how he can become more fully himself." David and Alina's daughter, Sophia, is now 3 years old, and David often thinks about what musical legacy he wants to pass on to her. He's not interested in forcing his musical preferences on her. but he does want to teach her how to listen actively, how to find wisdom and comfort in art, how to let creativity guide her understanding of herself and the world. Sophia has already shown interest in music, dancing to everything from her father's classic rock to her mother's jazz to whatever happens to be playing in the car. David watches her respond to different songs and sees something he recognizes, the human instinct to find meaning in sound, to let rhythm and melody organize emotions that are too complex for words alone. I hope Sophia finds her own audio slave, David told me. Not necessarily that specific band, but whatever music speaks to her soul in the way that helps her navigate life's challenges and celebrate its beauty. I want her to understand that art isn't just entertainment, it's education, therapy, and spiritual practice all rolled into one. This perspective has influenced how David approaches his work with young clients. He's less interested in introducing them to specific artists than in helping them develop the skills to listen deeply to whatever music already moves them. The goal is to help them become active rather than passive consumers of art. To find ways that their existing interests can become tools for emotional regulation, identity development, and community building. The Youth Crisis Center now offers workshops on musical activism, helping teenagers understand how artists have used their platforms to address social issues and encouraging young people to find their own voices on topics that matter to them. It's a natural extension of lessons David learned from Audioslave's combination of Rage Against the Machine's political consciousness with Chris Cornell's personal vulnerability. Some of the most rewarding moments in David's current work come from watching young people make these connections themselves. A 16-year-old discovers that hip-hop artists have been addressing mental health issues for decades. A 15-year-old realizes that her favorite pop singer's struggles with anxiety are similar to her own. A 17-year-old starts writing his own songs as a way to process his family's immigration story. These breakthrough moments remind David why his own relationship with Audioslave was so transformative. It wasn't just that the music was good, though it was. It was that the music arrived at exactly the moment when he was ready to learn from it, when he was open to the kind of guidance that comes through artistic expression rather than direct instruction. As David has matured both personally and professionally, his understanding of what Audioslave meant to his life has deepened beyond the immediate practical applications. The band represents something larger about the possibility of creative collaboration across differences, about the way individual talents can combine to create something none of the participants could have achieved alone. This principle now guides how David approaches everything from staff management at the Crisis Center to his marriage with Elena to his involvement in community organizing around addiction treatment and criminal justice reform. He's learned that the most powerful solutions often come from bringing together people with different but complementary skills and perspectives. Audioslave taught me about alchemy, David reflected. How you can take elements that seem incompatible, like Rage's political rage and Cornell's emotional vulnerability, and transform them into something completely new that honors both sources while transcending their limitations. That's what recovery is, what good therapy is, what healthy relationships are. It's alchemy. This alchemical thinking has influenced David's approach to addressing some of the field's most persistent challenges. How do you honor clients' cultural backgrounds while introducing them to evidence-based practices that might seem foreign? How do you balance individual healing with community transformation? How do you address personal trauma without losing sight of systemic issues that contribute to that trauma? David's answers to these questions are always contextual, always collaborative, but they're guided by principles he first learned from a band that probably never intended to become anyone's philosophical framework. The idea that apparent contradictions can be creative tensions. That authenticity requires both individual expression and connection to something larger than yourself. That transformation is possible at any age, under any circumstances, if you're willing to do the work and accept the support. These lessons have made David effective not just as a counselor but as a supervisor, mentor, and community leader. Younger colleagues seek his guidance not just because of his clinical skills but because of his ability to see connections across different approaches to healing, his comfort with complexity, and his faith in people's capacity for growth and change. When I asked David what he wants his professional legacy to be, his answer was immediate and clear. I want to be remembered as someone who helped people find their own songs, not his. songs, not even necessarily Audioslave songs, but whatever music speaks to their particular journey and circumstances. This perspective has led David to develop what he calls musical mapping exercises for both clients and colleagues. The process involves identifying the songs that have been most meaningful during different life phases, exploring what those musical choices reveal about values and coping strategies, and intentionally seeking out new music that supports current growth goals. Everyone has a soundtrack to their life, David explained. But most people never think consciously about what that soundtrack is teaching them, how it's shaping their understanding of themselves and their possibilities. When you start listening actively, when you start learning from your musical choices, it changes everything. David's approach has been adopted by treatment centers throughout the Southwest, and he's been invited to develop similar programs for other populations dealing with trauma and transition. Veterans returning from deployment, immigrants navigating cultural adaptation, individuals recovering from domestic violence. The specific populations vary, but the underlying principle remains constant. Music can be medicine if you know how to use it. The success of these programs has led to David being contacted by music industry professionals who are interested in understanding how their work affects listeners' mental health and personal development. He's consulted with record labels on how to support artists who address mental health themes in their work, and he's advised streaming platforms on developing playlists and recommendation algorithms that consider emotional wellness alongside commercial appeal. But perhaps the most significant aspect of David's legacy work involves training the next generation of culturally responsive, trauma-informed counselors. The fellowship program he developed with Elena now graduates 15 to 20 bilingual social workers each year who understand how to incorporate expressive arts techniques into evidence-based practice. These graduates carry forward not just clinical skills but a philosophical approach to healing that honors both individual agency and community connection, both personal growth and social justice, both cultural tradition and innovative practice. In other words, they carry forward the lessons David learned from a band that understood how to balance seemingly contradictory elements in service of something larger and more meaningful. David's story raises important questions about how we engage with art in our current cultural moment. In an age of algorithmic recommendations and viral content, when musical discovery is often passive and consumption is often shallow, what would it look like to approach music the way David approached Audioslave, as teacher, guide, and companion on the journey of becoming who you're meant to be? The streaming era has given us unprecedented access to musical diversity, but it's also created what David calls musical ADHD, the tendency to skip songs after 30 seconds, to create playlists based on mood rather than meaning, to treat music as background rather than foreground to our emotional lives. We have access to every song ever recorded, but most people have never had the experience of letting a single album teach them how to live, David observed. There's something lost in that approach. When you go deep with music instead of wide, when you let yourself be changed by what you're hearing, it transforms your relationship not just to art but to learning, growth, and possibility itself. This doesn't mean David advocates for musical monogamy. His current playlists include everything from classical to contemporary hip-hop, but he does believe in what he calls intentional listening. Approaching music as a practice of attention and openness rather than just entertainment or emotional regulation. David's work with young people has shown him that this approach resonates across generational and cultural differences. Teenagers who grew up with infinite musical choice still hunger for the kind of deep engagement with art that previous generations might have taken for granted. They want to understand how music can be more than just soundtrack to their social media content, how it can become a source of wisdom, community, and personal transformation. The Youth Crisis Center now offers workshops on musical mindfulness, teaching clients how to listen actively, how to identify the emotional and psychological effects of different musical elements, and how to curate their personal soundtracks intentionally rather than accidentally. The response has been overwhelmingly positive, with many participants reporting that the skills transfer to other areas of life, academic focus, relationship communication, career decision making. This success has led to David being invited to speak at high schools and colleges about the relationship between art and mental health. His message is always the same. The music you love is trying to teach you something about who you are and who you can become. The question is whether you're willing to listen closely enough to learn. When I asked David what audioslave means to him now, more than two decades after first hearing them in that halfway house, his answer was both simple and profound. "They're still teaching me," he said. "Every time I go back to those albums, I hear something I missed before, something that applies to whatever I'm going through in my current life." That's what great art does. It grows with you, reveals new layers as you develop the capacity to understand them. This capacity for ongoing revelation is what David tries to cultivate in his clients, his colleagues, and his own daughter. Not just the ability to appreciate art, but the willingness to be changed by it, to let it challenge comfortable assumptions and inspire uncomfortable growth. David's story proves that transformation is possible at any stage of life, under any circumstances, if you're willing to remain open to wisdom wherever it comes from, even if it comes from a supergroup that existed for just 7 years but left behind a catalog that continues to guide people through the most important decisions of their lives. The band members have all moved on to other projects, but the music remains. Chris Cornell's voice continues to soar over Tom Morello's innovative guitar work, providing soundtrack to recoveries, career changes, relationship transitions, and personal reckonings for people around the world who need to hear that transformation is possible, that authenticity is worth fighting for, that learning how to live is a practice that never ends. So here's my challenge for you, inspired by David's journey. This week, identify one album, one artist, one song that has been consistently meaningful to you across different life phases. Listen to it, not as background music but as curriculum. What is it trying to teach you about resilience, growth, authenticity, connection? How might those lessons apply to current challenges you're facing? And if you work with young people, if you're in a helping profession, if you're someone who cares about community healing and social justice, consider how the art that has shaped your own development might become a tool for supporting others' growth. Not by imposing your musical preferences on them, but by modeling what it looks like to listen deeply, learn actively, and let creativity guide your understanding of what it means to be fully human. David Martinez learned how to live by listening to four musicians who took creative risks, honored their individual talents while collaborating generously, and refused to be limited by others' expectations of what they should sound like. These are principles that apply far beyond music, to recovery, to social work, to parenting, to any endeavor that requires you to become more than you were, while staying true to who you are. Thank you for taking this musical journey with me today. If David's story resonated with you, if you're an Audioslave fan, or if you believe in music's power to heal and transform, please share this episode with someone who might need to hear it. And I'd love to hear about your own musical teachers, the artists who've shaped your understanding of yourself and your possibilities. Until next time, keep walking, keep remembering, and keep listening for the songs that are trying to teach you how to live. Quote.